Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If there's something on your heart, your mind, your spirit that you want to talk about, perhaps a Bible question that you have, give us a call at 844-322-2742. That number, as always, good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking this whole year about being established in the faith, firm in the faith, standing firm in the grace of God that's been given to us in Christ Jesus. We're talking about growing in the grace of God. We're talking about growing in our knowledge of Christ Jesus. Well, how do we do that? Well, we do that by getting the basics right, getting the fundamental truths of this Christian faith in order as far as our understanding is concerned. Without an understanding of the basics, you'll never grow in the grace of God. You'll never grow in your knowledge of Christ Jesus. If you don't know, for example, that your sins are forgiven, you're just going to be stymied in your growth.
Yes.
Peter said you're going to be nearsighted and blind, and you'll be ineffective in your relationship with Christ. Pretty strong words, but it just gets back to a simple truth. Do you know that your sins are forgiven? And on Wednesday's broadcast, we spent a lot of time looking at that phrase, do you not know? Paul used it quite often. And he's talking about practical things that we all encounter in life. And he says, if you knew the basics, then you would know how to handle these things.
Yeah.
But since you don't know, you're struggling. And he uses that several times in Romans chapter 6, once in Romans chapter 7. And we're going to take a look, the first part of the broadcast today, at what he says in Romans 7, verses 1 through 6. And he starts out, or do you not know, brothers? So there's the phrase.
Yeah.
And it's implied that they should know something. They should know this. This shouldn't be foreign to them. This shouldn't be unfamiliar to them. This should be stuff that is just right there on the top of their minds, that they know it, they understand it, they've embraced it, they're living it. So he's implying that in this particular question, do you not know, brothers? For I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives. So that's the reality. So
yes.
The law is only in charge until a person dies. So once a person dies, the law for that person ends.
Any law.
That's right.
Any law.
Any law. And particularly the law of Moses. And that's what he's talking about here. So what's the deal? Well, we've died in Christ. So what does that mean? The law has ended for us. Don't you know that? Don't you know that you have been baptized into Christ's death? Don't you know that your old man has been crucified with Christ? Don't you know that you've been raised to walk in the newness of life? Don't you know this? It's important stuff to know.
Yes.
I mean, it's really important stuff to know, because it's going to change everything about how you live your everyday life. So if you don't know that you have died to the law, then you're going to still give the law power in your life. You're going to let it control you. And here's what's going to happen. Those sinful desires that you don't want to give into, you're going to give into time and time again, and you're going to be frustrated, and you're going to throw up your hands in defeat and say, Lord, I can't do this. You know how I know that? Because that's what happened to me.
Yeah.
I threw up my hands because I thought I was still under the law, and I gave the law power in my life. And here's what it says. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. We want to bear fruit for God. We want to see the life of Christ being lived out through us. It's impossible if you are giving power to the law, if you are living as if you were still under the law. Here's the reason. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law.
Yeah.
What did the law do? It aroused those sinful passions. How it does that, there's a lot of detail we could get into. Let's just leave it. This is the way it is. If you say, do not look through that hole in the fence, I guarantee you, you will have every single desire under God's green earth to want to go look through that hole. That's just human nature. Now, you probably would have never thought about the hole in the fence unless you saw the sign that said, do not look at through the hole in the fence. Mm-hmm. So that law that said, do not, aroused that desire. And it's the same with the law of Moses. It arouses these sinful passions within us. It aroused by the law, they were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law. Why? Because we died with Christ.
Yes.
We died with Christ. So his death has become our death. So we've been released from the law. We've been released from that old relationship that we had with sin and death. And we've been raised. You know, the law says nothing about resurrection.
No.
Has no clause about resurrection whatsoever. If you've been raised from the dead, it's a whole different ball game for you. And the reason it's a different ball game is because you no longer belong to sin and death. You belong to Jesus. And so he says, you've been released from the law, having died to that which held you captive, so that now you serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. That's the good news. Yeah. And Paul is saying, do you not know this? And if you don't, you need to know this, that you are no longer under the law of sin and death. You have been released from that law by the power of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You've been raised to walk in the newness of life. What is that newness of life? It's not a life that is controlled by rules and regulations and human traditions. It is a life lived by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you.
Yeah. Well, this is Basic Gospel, and that's the good news, the type of good news you hear every day. As I said last week, I think it was, we seldom disseminate bad news, do we?
No, not at all.
You know, every day you listen to Basic Gospel, you hear in real life terms all the reasons that this ministry should stay on the air. And if you have a Bible question, you can call or message Basic Gospel. If you need Bible-based guidance, perhaps in a family crisis, you can call or message Basic Gospel. If you're in depression and life seems hopeless, you can call or message Basic Gospel. When you need to know the truth about Jesus Christ and his love for you, you can count on Basic Gospel. For all those reasons, we thank those of you who support this ministry with your love and with your gifts, with your prayers, and we ask your ongoing help to keep it on the air and online. So if you can, just click donate at basicgospel.net and make your gift this month, or you can phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Every call, every email question is a reason that Basic Gospel is here and should continue to be on the air every day. So again, that's 844-322-2742 or basicgospel.net. You can make your gift, your donation, either way, and we would love for you to partner with us in this message of God's unconditional love and grace at Basic Gospel. If you have a question now, 844-322-2742, and someone did overnight, let's listen to that call right now.
Yes, hello. I'm just trying to see if you agree that the New Testament was put together in order, front to back, Gospel, Matthew through Revelation, in order of importance. All right. Thank you very much. Bye.
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, there's many different ways that the books of the New Testament were ordered. But it really came down to some very simple things, like, for example, the 13 letters of Paul. They were really ordered from longest to shortest, weren't they?
Yes.
And so that's a pretty simple thing. Yeah, it's very, very practical. But it's interesting when you look at that, you see that in doing it that way, there's an order to it. When Paul, for example, wrote in Timothy that the word of God is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching or for doctrine and for correction and rebuke and those sort of things. You see the books of Paul are kind of lined out like that. So Romans, that's a book of doctrine. There's 1st and 2nd Corinthians.
It's a book of discipline.
That's right. That's exactly right. So we see it's kind of laid out like that. But, you can't really look and say one book's more important than the other. Why? Because they all tell the story of Jesus. And that's what we want to know is the story of Jesus. And so we see in the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see what his life was like here on earth, the things that he said, the things that he taught, the miracles that he performed, the claims that he made about himself, and then the incredible event at the end of his life, this death, burial, and resurrection, which constitutes the gospel message itself, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and then on the third day he was raised back to life according to the scriptures. So we see all of that in the Gospels, and then we see the explanation of what that means to us as far as our day-to-day life is concerned, as far as our relationship with God is concerned, as far as our eternal security is concerned. And then in the book of Revelation, we see how it's all going to be consummated, how Christ is going to come back, and then we're going to be with him, and what that's going to look like. So we see kind of the complete story. So we can't say that any book is more important than another. All of the Word of God, especially the New Testament writings, are relevant to us today, and they constitute our way of life, our faith in Jesus Christ. So, Richard, do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, you also see a little bit at the beginning in the Gospels and in Acts, you see a lot of history. Yes, there is good teaching, but primarily they are history. What was going on at the time? And then, like you said, you get into the letters, Paul's and Peter's and James and John, and now you see all of this stuff applied to everyday life. It's I find it amazing. I've been at this a long time, and it's kind of my job, but it wouldn't be my job if I didn't find it amazing.
Yeah.
I look at the Bible and how it holds together, and the things that you can find there if you just be patient and let the Holy Spirit deal with you as you go through it. And half of the fun is realizing that the Holy Spirit points you to various places, especially in this New Testament, dealing with what Jesus came to accomplish and then how he accomplished it and why it was so important. The Holy Spirit will take you from place to place and say, look how this ties together and look how this ties together, which absolutely demonstrates that no single book is the most important.
Yeah.
They all hang together. And part of the miracle for me, part of the miracle is that they do absolutely hang together.
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful, beautiful thing that God has done for us.
Yes, yes, indeed. And the reason they hang together is because every single book is about Jesus.
It's about Jesus.
It's his story from beginning to end. And that's one thing I just want to point out, that if you are having trouble understanding the Word of God, it doesn't make sense to you, the reason, most likely, is that you're reading the Bible and you're trying to make it about you. You're trying to figure out what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to live. If you'll kind of step back from that and say, wait a minute, this book is about Jesus. I want to find out about Jesus. Things will start making sense. Why? Because the teacher of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, he is teaching you about Jesus.
Yes.
The Word of God is proclaiming information to you about Jesus. And so if you will kind of merge those two together, then these pages will jump to life, and it'll be a different Bible for you, I guarantee it.
Absolutely. Well, it is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. We're glad that you're with us. We have several calls on the screen, Bob, and I guess maybe we should go to them. Huh?
We will. We're going to go to Greenville, Texas, and talk to Jacob, who's listening to us on the Word here in Dallas. Hi, Jacob.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. How can we help you today?
Well, I'll try and make it quick because I know you got other people on the line, but I've applied for a couple jobs at my church. I love my church, and I know that they hired some people who had the right qualifications, and I didn't get the job, but I'm going to seminary starting this year, and my degree is in secular background. But the question I have for you is, how do you know when to move? Like, I know it says lean not on your own understanding, but there's a continuum of people, I think, from one side who, you know, sit and almost wait for an audible voice just to speak out and say, do this, and then others who kind of make the move and then allow God to redirect them in the process. So I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, it does make sense. It makes a lot of sense, Jacob, and I think your thinking on it is good and wise. You know, like you said, there are a lot of people who will just sit back and they're, you know, somebody will say, hey, I want to get married. And so they just say, you know, God's going to bring me that person. And so they just sit back in their house and they never go out and meet people. They never put themselves out there to see, you know, who God may be bringing to them. So they just sit and stay single for a long, long, long time and get mad at God for not bringing that right person. And I think it's the same with a job. We want an audible voice. We want, just, you know, peals of thunder or lightning bolts or something to say, this one, not that one,
right.
Not that one. And that just doesn't work either. So I think we have to, you know, take some steps. You obviously have a heart's desire to be in ministry. And so you applied, and that didn't work out the way you had hoped it would. But that isn't stopping you. You've applied to seminary. You're taking that step, and I think that's a good step for you, Jacob. And so you believe God has put something on your heart that you want to make yourself available to Him in a way where you're set apart for this gospel ministry, and you're taking some steps. And I think in doing that, God will order your plans accordingly. So I think you just keep moving. You take a step forward in the light that you have, and just, you know, go. You're kind of jumping into the current of God's love and grace, and you just say, Lord, I want that current of love and grace to take me where you want it to take me.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Does that make sense, Jacob? I know, you know, when I was had graduated from college, I wanted to be in ministry, and I explored, you know, lots of different things, you know, some college ministries that had impacted my life while I was in college. Should I maybe work for them and be involved with them? Should I go to seminary? Should I take that route? And here's what I did. I took a job because I needed some money, and I took a job specifically because that job was going to transfer me somewhere in the country. I was living in Atlanta and had opportunity to come to Dallas or San Francisco or Miami or Louisville and several places where they had other operations. But I knew I was going to be transferred. And for some reason, I just had this idea that wherever I went, that God would have an open door for me. And sure enough, when I moved to Dallas, kind of his plans for me materialized and opened up. But it was in taking that job and saying, hey, Lord, maybe you have something for me when I'm transferred. And I just took that step, and then there was the plan of God right before me. And so I've been in this ministry for 35 years, and that took place 35 years ago almost. So Jacob,
well, I appreciate your personal story. And I guess just to kind of paint you a picture real quick of where I'm at is that, you know, I have a psychology bachelor's, which if you know about that, it doesn't make you a whole lot. There's some case management and stuff like that. But I have two children, and so I'm kind of faced with this dilemma where I've been offered a position making more money in a business secular area, and I can take the first couple years of my ministry online, at least the first year and a half. So for my family and fiscal sake, I'm wondering, you know, should I do this or should I go ahead and just keep going with where I'm at now and then do the ministry online? So,
well, Jacob,
I've been praying on that.
Yeah, certainly your responsibility is to your wife and your children. And, you know, it sounds like if you have this job where you can provide and then also equip yourself with some online courses, that sounds like a great plan.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, you're going to have lots of opportunities. I mean, if you're out there in the workplace, you're going to be rubbing shoulders with a lot of people who are hurting, who need help. And so you have some tools that you've gained in school with your degree, but you also have the gospel. And so you'll have opportunities to share Christ and to be involved in people's lives. So don't sell that short, because those are the things that are going to give you empathy. And when you do give messages, when you stand and preach and that sort of thing, you will not be just delivering words, you will be delivering life. And there's a big difference. And so, you know, if you're wherever you are, know that God is equipping you to do something down the road. And just be so content with that. And so it sounds like you've got a pretty good deal, an opportunity to support your wife and kids in a good and healthy way, and an opportunity to equip yourself and an opportunity to step out there in the world and minister to some people.
Yeah, never forget that you are a minister by definition because you are a child of God. You're not a minister because you get a job. Do ministry.
Amen.
Do ministry where you are, and whether you do it as an avocation or a vocation will take care of itself, and you just keep walking by faith.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, thank you all so much for having me.
Well, you're welcome. Jacob, let me put you on hold. I'll send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, that kind of details a lot of my story, and maybe you can identify with some of that.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Okay, you hold on. Thanks for your call, Jacob.
Yes, indeed. A couple of things we'll mention as we close today's broadcast. First, if you're visually oriented, you can join us on Basic Gospel on our Facebook or YouTube channels as we stream live video every day. One more way that God has opened up to share the gospel, and we hope that you are a part of that. Of course, we also have the Basic Gospel app. It's a great way for you to stay connected all the time with Basic Gospel. Just go to the App Store, and you can download it today. It's ready, and it is a fully featured app, and we hope you'll take advantage of that. Now, tomorrow, a very special thing happening. A new series begins on the book of Hebrews. Tell your family, tell your friends, and join us tomorrow on this broadcast. That's right here at Basic Gospel. Once again, friends, a question for you. Consider that, you know, if you don't have the basics right, you'll never grow and mature as a believer in Christ. Now, your support to Basic Gospel is critical because you are helping other believers as well as yourself to mature and to be equipped with a solid understanding of the fundamentals, truths like the fact that Jesus is God, that He forgave all our sins, that we live in the new covenant, not the old covenant, and that salvation is receiving the life of Christ. It's this good news that you hear every day on Basic Gospel, and when you make your gift to this month to Basic Gospel to keep the good news coming, well, you'll receive our brand new book, The Basic Gospel, your opportunity to make sure that you have the basics down and help others at the same time. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Right now, in the next 5 minutes, before your next program starts on this station, it's a great time to call or go online. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team, Bob Davis with your invitation to join us for that special edition tomorrow at this time. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.